From Altoona to Middletown, Latrobe to Lafayette Hill, this is Lincoln Radio Journal. On this edition, most folks think when you have a budget, you stick to it. But Governor Tom Wolf annually overspends the state budget by hundreds of millions of dollars, and taxpayers foot the bill. David Taylor from the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association is here to host a Capital Watch discussion. And Pennsylvania's state system of higher education is the education version of shopping malls, overbuilt with too few customers. I'll have a town hall commentary. I'm Loman Henry, and welcome to Lincoln Radio Journal. We'll get to David Taylor and our Capital Watch crew in just a couple of minutes, but first, news headlines from patownhall.com. A lawsuit filed by Allentown taxpayers, represented by the Fairness Center, has forced the Pennsylvania State Education Association, or PSEA, to foot the bill for salary, benefits, and pension costs associated with the controversial practice of ghost teaching in the Allentown School District. Ghost teaching is when teachers leave the classroom to work full-time for the local teachers' union, but remain on the school district payroll at taxpayer expense. After years of litigation, the PSEA dropped its efforts to secure publicly funded pensions for the Allentown ghost teachers and agreed to purchase annuities to cover their retirement costs. Such practices have also now ended in the Erie and Lancaster school districts, among others. President Donald Trump made his first 2020 appearance in Pennsylvania this past week, participating in a Fox News town hall in Scranton. The Scranton area will be a key battleground in the November general election. President Trump did well in the region in 2016, but could face former Vice President Joe Biden this fall. Biden grew up in Scranton, but lived his entire adult life in Delaware, where he served as a U.S. senator before being tapped as Barack Obama's running mate in 2008. Meanwhile, Governor Tom Wolf staying out of that fight over the Democratic presidential nomination. In a broadcast interview, the governor said he will support whoever wins the nomination, but will stay out of the fray until then. Read about all things Pennsylvania at patownhall.com. Budget season is underway in Harrisburg, but Governor Tom Wolf already has overspent the current year's budget, leaving the legislature no choice but to figure out how to pay the bill. Here to discuss the practice is our Capital Watch crew, Rebecca Euler from the National Federation of Independent Business and Stephen Bloom from the Commonwealth Foundation, join David Taylor from the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. David?
Welcome once again to Capital Watch, where we keep an eye on what's happening under the Capitol Dome in Harrisburg for you. I'm your host, David Taylor, President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. Here in the studio, your all-star team, Rebecca Euler, Legislative Director for the National Federation of Independent Business. Rebecca, thanks for being on the show.
Great to be here again, David. Thank you.
And Steve Bloom, Vice President of the Commonwealth Foundation. Steve, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, the circus is in town that we have had budget hearings underway at the state capitol, getting a first glimpse of how the legislators are responding to the governor's budget plan, grilling the various cabinet officers and department heads about exactly what the administration has proposed. You folks have both been watching the situation. What are your takeaways from these first couple of weeks?
Well, I can tell you that the governor's legislative the hearings that are taking place in the legislature with the cabinet secretaries, they've been getting a lot of pointed questions from the legislators about the increase in spending the governor's proposing, which is about a 6% increase for this coming fiscal year, which is a large increase. And they're getting a lot of pointed questions on where those costs are coming from and how they plan on covering them.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've noticed as we've gone through these several weeks of budget hearings at the Capitol. There does seem to be a more, I would say, confrontational or at least an approach that's demanding transparency from right. many of the legislators in both the Senate and the House, which is encouraging to see. They're not letting the administration slide by with just these big numbers with nothing to back them.
Well, and because we're starting at a point where the administration overspent last year's budget by a pretty significant amount, and they want then to make that the baseline for new spending and then have a big increase on top of that.
Right. And if you think about the absurdity of this, last year, of course, the state, as it always does, went through the entire budget process where a budget was approved by both chambers of the legislature and signed by the governor. The governor, though, in the meantime, rather than abide by that budget, has overspent to the tune of almost $600 million out of a 30-some billion-dollar budget. It's a large number. And now he's asking for a whole lot more for the upcoming year, but he's already spent it. He's spent a huge chunk of it already.
Yeah.
Now think about that. It doesn't make any sense even for the governor to come to the legislature demanding more, having already overspent what he had last year to spend.
Well, and then there are always these tricky things that are games that are played with the budget where you zero out somebody else's line item that you know will have to be replenished, and then you use that to mask the scale of the increase that you are pushing for. That I know that the governor zeroed out some agricultural lines and things
school
that are
safety.
Important, things that are important to rural Pennsylvania, things that are going to get refilled. So actually the recognizing the political realities of that, the governor's spend request is actually considerably higher.
Right. And as Rebecca accurately said, it's somewhere in the vicinity of a 6% increase that the governor's asking for over last year's budget. So he's asking for about $36 billion. And he's doing that even after having overspent last year's budget. Now he's coming back and asking for this tremendous increase I don't think it's even a representative of not only some of the typical restrictions that legislators have talked about, perhaps the rate of inflation, population growth, those kind of things. It's just an unprecedentedly large increase that the governor's asking for. And I think what we are seeing is it creates at least an environment in which they will successfully push back on that, and we won't end up having the taxpayers of Pennsylvania stuck with this 6.1% increase in spending.
Because, of course, there are pressing public needs and there are services that people are requesting, so on and so forth. But again, there's only so much that is being spun off in revenues for the Treasury by the economy as ever as, pro-growth conservative type people, our attitude is if you want more money from government, help the economy to grow to get bigger so that we can collect more dollars at current tax rates.
Well, and the ironic thing about that is the economy is growing. Tax collections are up and we're doing pretty well. But it's still overspending beyond that increase. So we're doing well. We're starting to grow. We're experiencing a lot of success from the federal tax cuts and regulatory changes, which are bringing some income into Pennsylvania. But he's still proposing to go beyond what that increase is,
which is dangerous, which is destabilizing.
Dangerous and destabilizing. And fortunately, we have some legislators who have stepped up to the plate and are offering legislation that would stop this practice that Governor Wolf has exercised year after year of overspending the current budget. Right now, what has happened typically and what happens under the current statutory scheme, if the governor does overspend, the overspending is usually rolled into the next year's budget and approved all at once with the new budget for the coming year. So it's hard for a legislator who wants to move the process forward to say, no, Governor, you can't do that, because everything's been rolled into a new spending plan.
It's a hostage situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like a hostage situation. Representative Seth Grove in the House and Senator Kristen Phillips Hill in the Senate have introduced legislation that would actually force any overspending approval to come in the legislature via a separate freestanding vote. So legislators could stand up and have the political backing of a clear understanding on the part of the public of what they're voting for or against and actually stop this practice. So that legislation is important, and I applaud those two legislators for coming forward with an idea to restrict this abusive overspending that the governor has indulged in year after year.
Because this is one of the most important factors for the fiscal health of the Commonwealth is for state government to not spend money faster than the taxpayers can earn it.
And that's what they've been doing. If you look back just over the last 50 years, Pennsylvania state spending has essentially tripled. No one that you talk to says the government today is three times better than it was 50 years ago or three times more effective at what it does. But yet they're spending that much more over the course of a time period when individuals' wealth and income has not risen at that rate. Yet the government is just disproportionately growing.
Because the tax rates are too high and the government is spending too much, that the economy is not growing as fast as it should, and therefore the collections aren't where they ought to be to meet these public
needs.
It's
not sustainable. It's not a sustainable situation. And you know, our country is a laboratory of democracy and allows for each state to make its own rules and regulations with respect to taxation and so forth. And when we do what we've been doing, increasing government spending so much that it's driving tax increases, and we have this hostile environment toward the taxpayer in Pennsylvania, whether you're an individual or a business entity, it's driving people and businesses to other states where they can do better.
What Steve talked about is putting a decision point into this continuous spending increase that we see every year. If we can force the legislature to actually examine and vote on these spending increases that are taking place within the current budget year as a first step, at least we can put a decision point into the process and force our legislators to look at possible policy changes that can limit the growth of that spending. And that's where we really want to go, is actually looking at the cost drivers that continue to force this increase.
You're listening to Capital Watch. I'm your host, David Taylor from Pennsylvania Manufacturers. With me, Rebecca Euler from NFIB Pennsylvania and Steve Bloom from Commonwealth Foundation.
And David, we were just talking about policy solutions to this ongoing problem of unrestrained growth on the part of Pennsylvania's government. One of the solutions is a bill called the Taxpayer Protection Act. Taxpayer Protection Act, it's actually proposing a constitutional amendment. So it's a process that would have to be gone through over the next 2 years where House and Senate pass it, House and Senate pass it again the next session, and then it goes to the voters of the Commonwealth for approval. But if enacted, and it's been done in other states very successfully, it would actually restrain government spending to the rate of inflation plus population growth. So you would no longer have this continually disruptive and destructive problem of government spending outpacing the wealth and increase of the income of citizens.
Well, and this is something that I believe is long overdue, to establish real world limits to how much state government can grow and how much it can take out of the private economy.
The Taxpayer Protection Act wouldn't say the government can't grow.
Right.
It just says if it's going to grow, it can't grow by more than the rate of inflation plus population growth, a natural and appropriate amount of growth to suit the changes in our state. Also, under emergency conditions, the legislature by a two-thirds vote could actually override the limits in the Taxpayer Protection Act. So there's a fail-safe mechanism. It doesn't require the governor's signature. So Governor Wolf, who likes to spend more than that rate, he has no say in this. Mm-hmm. It goes straight to the people of Pennsylvania to decide. So this is one option or opportunity available to the people of Pennsylvania to finally wrestle to the ground this problem of continuous decade after decade irresponsible growth in PA's government.
And real change requires real change. And to have this kind of substantive and permanent change in the way that we govern ourselves, this would give us the hope that we could finally put Pennsylvania on a sustainable trajectory for state spending.
Right. And it would force that conversation on an annual basis about what the state's most important programs are and what needs to be retained and what maybe has lost its usefulness. And it would force those policy discussions at the state level, and it would force the government to be more responsive to the needs of its citizens.
Well, and that's what I was thinking also, that at the same time, it would force state government, the General Assembly and the governor and the executive agencies to do that cost benefit analysis of, does this program do what it's supposed to do? Do we still need it to do the thing that we intended it for? But also it would drive that process of continuous improvement that we see in the private sector, that if we had an actual limit on how much government could grow, that there would be, finally downward pressure on how can we get more value out of dollars that are already being spent.
And it forces a discussion of what sometimes is referred to as performance-based budgeting.
Yes.
So that the government actually has to look at the dollars, the taxpayer dollars that they are spending, and make sure that they are being spent and deployed in ways that are actually beneficial to the state. Certainly for small businesses, that's a big deal. You look at, again, the issue of where does an investor go who wants to create a new enterprise? Are they going to go to a state like Pennsylvania that has unduly high taxes, unusually restrictive regulations, or are they going to move to a state where there's a more neutral or even business-friendly climate?
Not to mention the outstanding debt that we already have as a state, which I think last time I checked was about $128 billion. That debt looming over us, in addition to those other disadvantages that Steve mentioned, really does deter investment in the state because with that debt looming over us, we're looking at tax increases, you know, at some point in the future. There's no getting around it at this rate.
And the point, you know, Steve, that you raised earlier, I think speaks to, you know, Rebecca's point here, which is, you know, that the states are, you know, the laboratories of democracy, as the saying goes. And so we have examples that we can look to in, you know, among our peers as to the choices that they have made and the outcomes that have been derived. And there's no contrast more stark than that of Indiana and Illinois. And that in Indiana that you have had, you know, a limited government approach with, you know, pro-growth economic policies. And in Illinois that you have had expanded government, higher spending, more taxes, more debt. And, you know, this is why Pennsylvania is now the fifth most populous state in America. We used to be sixth. It's not because we grew. It's because people fled Illinois.
Right. It's not the ideal way to gain stature as a relatively larger state, but we're fighting that battle day by day, and we are in the same boat, losing congressional representation mm-hmm. each census because we are, relative to other states, we're not growing.
Yes.
Another point that Rebecca raised, I think, is really important to note also. The governor is talking about some $5.5 billion in additional debt in the context of the budget he's proposed. Now, he's talked about $1.1 billion for either upgrading or modernizing school facilities in certain parts of the state where school boards themselves have neglected their own infrastructure. And now he's proposing that the state, the taxpayers, borrow money at interest to fix those schools. He's talked about raising $4.5 billion in new debt, new borrowing for his Restore PA plan. So these are again ideas that put us deeper in a hole. Now those could, or that you could argue over whether those are valid endeavors in terms of the way he wants to spend the money. But when you're already in the kind of debt that Rebecca talked about, to go $5.5 billion deeper, putting our taxpayers, our their children, their grandchildren on the hook for something that they've decided to do today, it's not the way you should be budgeting taxpayer
dollars.
Well,
and that's correct. And I mean, then there's a certain, there's no other word for it, but selfishness on the part of the governor that he wants to have all of that bonded debt for him to spend during his remaining time in office and to leave all the rest of us to, you know, to pay the bill long after he's gone. And so this appears to me to be much more about, you know, getting political credit for spending money than for actually caring for the well-being of the Commonwealth.
Well, and not to mention that $4.5 billion bond that we mentioned is to be paid for by a severance tax, which, as we've discussed, you know, on this program before, is not a pro-business policy in any case. So we're talking about not only incurring that $4.5 billion in debt, which over 20 years would probably cost the state about $6.5 billion, in addition to having a severance tax on top of the existing impact fee in ad infinitum forever.
Right. Yes. And that's, you know, and again, it's this paradox where we talk about taxes when we mean we're talking about tax rates versus tax collections. Yes, we want the revenues to come into the Commonwealth. And because we want the economy to grow, yes, economic growth would throw off more revenues to meet public needs. But just raising taxes or imposing new taxes doesn't necessarily get you to where you want to go because it puts more burden on the economy, which yields slower growth. And that's the cycle that we've been locked into year after year, decade after decade, which has led to the chronic underperformance of Pennsylvania's economy. And, you know, I mean, you've heard me tell this joke too many times. How sad is it that we aspire to mediocrity? But it's true. If we were just growing at the national average, we would be much further ahead of where we have been and where we are. And so I would say that fiscal discipline is the first and most important step towards getting Pennsylvania on a trajectory for long-term growth. And certainly having something like the Taxpayer Protection Act in Pennsylvania's constitution would be a great leap forward in reaching that goal.
And good news is that the House leadership is talking about running the Taxpayer Protection Act up for a vote through the House chamber here in this month, in March. So if that happens, that's good news. And please, folks should let their legislators know that they support that idea of running the Taxpayer Protection Act.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time that we have for this week's program. But as always, it's great to have you here with us. Rebecca, where can the listeners go to learn more about you and NFIB and the work that you're doing?
Well, they can find us at nfib.com/PA or on Facebook or Twitter.
Outstanding. And Steve, where can the listeners go to learn more about you and what you do?
They may visit commonwealthfoundation.org. They can also visit taxpayerprotectionact.com if they want to learn how they can contact their legislators and ask them to support the Taxpayer Protection Act.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And as ever, you can find me online at pamanufacturers.org and on the Pennsylvania Cable Network on Sunday mornings at 8:30 with PMA Perspective. For Steve and Rebecca and me, thanks very much for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Capital Watch. And now, a town hall commentary from Loman Henry.
Thank you, David. Governor Tom Wolf's address to a joint session of the General Assembly in early February marked the official beginning of the annual state budget process. Higher education, specifically the Pennsylvania State System of Higher Education, or PASHE, became a dominant issue. Unfettered by economic reality, the costs of higher education have skyrocketed. The result is massive student debt and never-ending calls for more taxpayer dollars to subsidize our education institutions. This despite declining enrollment and an economy more in need of individuals trained for technical jobs or skilled in the trades. Adding fuel to the fire, the governor proposed diverting more than $200 million from subsidies to the state's horse racing industry to pay for scholarships or to help reduce the debt burden for students attending state-run colleges. Most of the money to pay for the scholarship program would be diverted from the Horse Racing Development Fund. Revenue to supply that fund is generated by taxes from the slot machines that now dot the Commonwealth's landscape. That is ironic because casino gambling in the state began as a plan to play slots at racetracks in an effort to save the then floundering horse racing industry. What gaming has become is a subject for another day, but taking away that revenue stream resulted in predictable howls of protest from those in the equine community. Governor Wolf's solution to every problem is to spend more taxpayer money. He is especially fond of throwing more dollars at education without ever demanding those dollars be spent prudently and with no means of measuring quality. Likewise, as predictable as Punxsutawney Phil emerging from his burrow, the reigning chancellor of PASHE every February petitions the legislature for more money. In so doing, they have turned a blind eye to market forces. This is because most in the higher education community don't view education as a product. While there is merit to valuing education for the sake of adding to the societal pool of knowledge, or even for personal edification, the main reason for obtaining a higher education is to equip oneself to earn money, presumably at a higher rate than one would have earned without a degree. To that end, state system schools have become the retail equivalent of shopping malls, overbuilt behemoths with a rapidly declining customer base. According to the Allegheny Institute for Public Policy in Pittsburgh, enrollment at the 14 university system peaked in 2010 at 119,513 students. By the fall of 2019, enrollment had dropped by 20% to 95,494 students. Mansfield University saw an enrollment decline of 51%, while Cheney's enrollment fell 61%. With a declining customer base, the schools have not only failed to contain costs, but have actually increased both annual spending and debt. The school's combined financial liability has increased from $2.07 billion in 2010 to $5.46 billion in 2019. Pension liabilities are up 53%. The decline in enrollment can be attributed to several factors. First, Pennsylvania's high schools are graduating fewer students, thus the customer base is shrinking. Second, state-related universities such as Penn State and the nation's private universities are doing a better job at attracting students. And while all of the above have made adaptations to accommodate non-traditional students, adult continuing education, and online learning, they have failed to adequately respond to the fact the nation's workforce has less and less need for classically educated individuals and a greater need for those with a technical education or the ability to work in the building trades. Yes, there will always be a need for those equipped with four-year college degrees and higher, but the failure of the higher education community to contain costs and adapt to market forces has made such an education unaffordable for many potential students. This is especially true when high-paying, family-sustaining jobs in manufacturing and the trades are readily available and for significantly less cost in training. In the age of Amazon, Governor Wolf and the higher education establishment are stuck in a brick-and-mortar world. They are overbuilt, inefficient, and fail to deliver a needed product. Cost containment, consolidation, and a realistic assessment of workforce needs are necessary steps. Simply giving them more taxpayer dollars will only make the problem worse. With the Town Hall Commentary, I'm Loman Henry. And the 2020 Pennsylvania Leadership Conference is now just a few weeks away. The Pennsylvania Leadership Conference is the premier gathering of grassroots conservatives every year here in the Keystone State. This year's conference will be March 27th and 28th at the Radisson Penn Harris Convention Center in Camp Hill. Fox News contributor Jason Chaffetz will be the featured dinner speaker. Additional speakers include former U.S. Senator Rick Santorum, House Freedom Caucus Chairman Congressman Mark Meadows, Brent Bozell from the Media Research Center, Congressman Scott Perry, John Gizzi of Newsmax, Dr. Paul Kengor from Grove City College, Kellyanne Pidgeon from Armed and Feminine, and many others. There will be panel presentations, workshops, and networking. For complete information and to register for the 2020 Pennsylvania Leadership Conference, go to paleadershipconference.org. If you miss hearing Lincoln Radio Journal on your favorite radio station, audio of our complete program is available on our websites, lincolnradiojournal.com and lincolninstitute.org. For 25 years, Lincoln Radio Journal has been heard on public affairs-minded radio stations throughout the Commonwealth, including WWEC-FM in Elizabethtown, WCED-AM in Dubois, along with WFRM-AM in Cowdersport, Pennsylvania. The Lincoln Radio Journal is produced weekly by the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. The Lincoln Institute is completely funded through the generosity of individuals, corporations, and philanthropic foundations, including the Houston Foundation of Coatesville, the Allegheny Foundation of Pittsburgh, and the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, all of whom have helped to underwrite the costs of this program. Lincoln Radio Journal is a trademark of the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. Comments and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Lincoln Institute or of this radio station. From the Lincoln Broadcast Center in Harrisburg, I'm Loman Henry. Thank you for listening to Pennsylvania's most widely broadcast public affairs radio program, Lincoln Radio Journal. Plug into the pulse of Pennsylvania. Thank you.
We'll be right back.